pitch to the Center Circle studio. Tim Van Horn goes studs up into the soccer world where no one is safe. The 18-yard box is wall-free. This is My Three Subs Podcast, a soccer odyssey with your manager, Tim Van Horn.
It has been more than a minute. In fact, it feels like a two-minute penalty. We've been away far too long. Brody Scott and Tim Van Horn back at you with My Three Subs. I guess we need some headlines, Brody. What do you think?
I mean, you know, listen, it was the end of Memphis 901 FC's historic run, right, that we last spoke. Their end of the playoff run. And we were like, yeah, there's going to be an indoor club coming around. We're going to see how that goes. NISL, we fun. And holy crap, were we right. It is fun.
And it is, it's probably better than a lot of people expected. It's been a blast. And the hometown team is kicking some butt.
Killing it.
At home and on the road. Coming up, we're going to talk with the general manager, the head coach, and the one of the main defenders for the Memphis Americans. He may restock the concession stand. Yeah. He does everything. Corey Adamson, the indoor soccer veteran, joins us next. He's Brody. I'm Tim. We have our shin guards on. It's indoor, so we got our cup on, too.
Yeah.
This is My Three Subs.
We'll be back with today's kickoff from the Center Circle Studios. This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
I love talking soccer, but I also love talking about real estate, too. And people ask me about both a lot. And one of the big questions I get in real estate is, how's the housing market? The housing market looks great. And really, it all comes down to, when is the time right for you? If you're ready to make your move, give me a call. Tim Van Horn at Cry Like Realtors. 901-756-8900 is my office number. Brody, can I give him my cell number? Oh, I can? Okay. 901-262-5000. That's my cell phone. You can also go to my website, timvanhorn.com. I can help you with your move around the block, around the city, around the state, and even around the world, too. I have a network of relocation certified agents just ready to help you. They are dying for your business, and I can put you in touch with those. All it takes is pick up the phone, give me a call. 901-756-8900. That's my office number. You can call me at my cell, 901-262-5000. Or just go online. Check me out at timvanhorn.com. That's timvanhorn.com with Cry Like Realtors.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. We're underway from the Center Circle Studios.
We are so excited. We're now a few weeks into the season, and the NISL, the National Indoor Soccer League, is off and running. And the Memphis Americans, women's and the men's team, man, they're on fire, Brody.
I mean, shot out of a cannon. You want to talk about game one jitters? This club did not have them. On either side of the ball.
Hey, in the broadcast booth, I had jitters.
Hell, because, I was watching the game, Tim, and I was sitting here nervous as all hell. And Corey Adamson put it together. This team, this club that has quite honestly been undeniably the best in the league.
Yeah, you know, we got to see the men shot out of a cannon 6-0 opening night, and then the women come out 10-2. But I have to tell you, ever since opening night, we have seen the rest of the league, the Rome Gladiators, the Columbus Rapids, and we've seen the Fayetteville Fury. We've seen some talented clubs, and we're already seeing early signs that there's going to be some parity. But don't take my word for it. Let's walk you through the beginning stages of this brand new season. A head coach, general manager, are you the leading goal scorer? Are you second on the club now? Corey Adamson joins us now for My Three Subs. Coach, it's great to have you on the program. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm actually not the leading goal scorer. Jordy Jordovich.
Jordy!
Jordy's got like 112 goals.
Lordy, there's Jordy!
Right?
Jordy came out this weekend and scored 7,
unbelievable.
I believe.
Yeah.
We're flying right now.
Scored 7 off of your assists, though, Captain. Oh, my coach. Oh, my leader.
Yeah, I had 10 points and 8 of them were assists this weekend. So there was everybody was getting some. George had 4 in the first game and then 3 in the second game. I think I had assists on all but one of them.
Yeah.
But his, the thing was, his timing is just it's been incredible so far. He's already a handful physically, and technically, but in indoor soccer, it's all about timing and arrival. If you're there too early, you don't get the ball. If you're there too late, you don't get the ball. So he's just been, it's just started to click a little bit, and we're starting to find him a lot better. And really the team itself has gone from a very, in my opinion, basic type of structurally sound team to a more evolved, this is how we're going to break things down. We're seeing a lot of, quite honestly, we called it out all last week. We said, we're going to start seeing a lot more mimicking and a lot more, people trying to replicate what we're doing and then try to do it with their strengths and stuff like that. And quite frankly, you can't beat what you already know. So yeah. What we worked on all last week was, okay, this is what we're going to see. This is what we've been doing really well. This is what other teams are going to do against us because we've been doing it well against them. They're going to try and copy it. Here's how you break it. And yeah. that's literally the approach to it. We started breaking down us so that when we saw it in the game, it was boom. It was flawless, especially that first game for the men's.
You know, that's interesting. Go ahead, Tim. But
I was just going to say, after that first match, the first evening of matches, you basically line changed Columbus to death in that match. The strictly indoor training was a real advantage. You take that, and plus you take the talent that you had on the roster as well, and I think that made a huge difference. And to your point, what you just said, I believe the teams are now starting to adapt, and they get, wait a second, this isn't outdoor with walls, this is a totally different beast,
right?
And I think we've seen that in the last couple of weeks as now the matches have become more competitive, because they figured out, okay, I can't just run out here for 5-6 minute shifts. There's got to be some discipline to that as well. But you gave Memphis a head start with that, and it seems like your players took to like ducks in water with it.
Well, it's funny you said head start too, because after the first couple of games or first weekend of games, that's exactly what we said. We said, you know, all these teams, in my opinion, from what I've seen, are all equally talented. Mm-hmm. Equally talented. I don't think anyone. Maybe there's a few teams that are a little bit higher up on the talent scale. But
like you guys, it's okay. Like you guys, it's fine. Go ahead and toot your own horn a little bit, coach. Come on.
I mean, I think we do have a lot of talent, but I think there's, I'll be honest. And I've said this to the players. I think there's other teams that have more technical talent or physical talent than we do necessarily, but we had a head start because we played the game of indoor soccer. They played soccer indoors. Mm-hmm. And there's a massive, massive difference in that. We have such a long learning curve of ways to manipulate the bench, ways to manipulate offenses, ways to manipulate defenses, how to stretch and create different angles. And those are things that we worked on a lot last week. They showed up big time in the games for both the men's and the women's side. The women, quite honestly, they just ran out of steam. We were down due to injury. I've got three players out injured, one player out of the country, another player couldn't make the trip. And then we had two more that couldn't be there until Saturday. So being able to kind of even compete, the fact that we even competed in those two games was a testament to how good our team is and how structurally sound they were.
Yeah.
Because to play down a player in somebody else's building while they have 14 players on their roster, they're running through like crazy. It's like, man, how long can we hold on? And not only do we take a hard loss with the women, a hard, really tough. That locker room really sucked.
I went to put my kids to bed, coach, and then I come back and you're gone. Did you go take a bathroom break in that match, or did you get kicked out? What happened?
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
So I was pretty heated, you know, basically the green team didn't do anybody any favors from the American side, and one of the members of the green team decided he wanted to provoke, and I let him unfortunately provoke me into a situation where he was allowed to try and kick me out of the game. So that fortunately, that whole incident, you know, we'll be sending it to the head of referees and the board and everything like that. They'll see exactly what happened. But the short stick of it is, it was a very heated match. I asked for a timeout. I was not granted that timeout. I voiced my displeasure about not getting the timeout. he then followed me over, verbally threatening me, assaulting me, whatever you want to call it, whatever. Right. He was talking a lot of crap to me all the way for about a 20-yard stretch. Went into our huddle. He's screaming at me in the huddle. One of my players puts their hand in his face because I'm trying to like talk to my team. Finally, I lost it and said, get out of here. And he said, no, you get out of here. So I ended up, unfortunately, had to miss, overtime and shootout, which was really, really tough because I felt like I let my girls down.
Well,
because I couldn't be there for them and kind of help strategize a little bit better and maybe help put them in a better situation to have ended that game. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they came out the very next night and went toe to toe with them again.
Yeah.
It's a 2-2 game. In my opinion, their goalkeeper is one of the greatest goalkeepers I've ever seen in my entire life for Columbus.
Oh, Riento.
She stood on her head. She made so many saves that she had no business making. At times, Columbus looked like they had 15 people in the box just diving around trying to make just last second blocks. I mean, we were killing them. There wasn't anything we could have done better except put the ball in the back of the net.
Right.
And honestly, I felt like they were very fortunate to have come out with a shootout or an overtime loss.
Yeah.
Because I think that game was way, way closer on the scoreboard than it really was in the game.
Yeah.
How does that go in the standings, by the way, coach?
Well, but what's that?
How does that go in the standings? For the fans listening in that haven't been to watch a match yet, wins, losses, is there a point in the standings giving if you at least get to overtime, or is it 2 points or no points?
I don't believe so. I'm 90% sure. I got to double check, but yeah,
I'm looking at the standings now.
Wins and losses.
Yeah, the wins, losses, there's only two categories, win, loss. Of course, we're sitting on top, because that's how we do with 3-1, three wins, one loss. But I think the bigger talking point, to your credit, coach, is the goals for, which our women sit at 22. Goals against is 13. And while we only have the streak of one with that overtime loss coming at the start of the doubleheader last week, the last weekend against Columbus, you know, listen, that goals for is, honest to God, impressive as all get out. Not to take anything away from the men's side either. 4 wins, 0 losses, an undefeated season so far, coach, with the men's side. Goals for 27 with 7 against. I mean, knowing what you're doing and how you're doing it.
The biggest statistic for me in that is the goals against, right? So there's one of the greatest, probably the greatest indoor coach of all time, Keith Tozer, said it a long, long time ago. And he's right even to this day. They went back a long time ago and they kind of went through games. They found that if you gave up 4 goals or less in a game, and in a game of indoor soccer, you raise your chances of winning by 85%. And because there's so, I mean, how many of these games have you seen not score 4 goals, right?
Right.
How many of these teams have not put up 4 goals? It's very rare. Usually the winning team's got about 6. So I think for the season average, it's around that. It's somewhere around that 6 goal mark. So if you look at it from that standpoint, the less goals you're giving up, the bigger your chances of winning. And that's why we put such an emphasis in. And Tim, you say a lot on the broadcast, and even the Columbus guy was saying it a lot. The teams are very, for both men's and women's, they are just so disciplined in getting in the transition game and getting back. Mm-hmm. And I highlight that every week. I mean, I'll take little clips of this player getting back, this player in transition, that player in transition, turning a 2v1 into a 2v2 and then a 2v3, mm-hmm. you know, for us rather than against us. Because even if you try and cherry pick somebody all the way up there, it's a small field. If we hold you up just enough, right, slow you down just enough, and we have good offensive shape, our transition is going to be incredible. Mm. One of the things you saw from the men was our pressure. We were in such good offensive shape where we weren't everybody was in the box or were too disjointed from the back line to the midfield to the final third, that even when the ball turned over, we were right there putting pressure on, forcing top of the boxes, forcing bad mistakes out of the back. I think their goalkeeper gave Paulo an assist, Jordy an assist, and I think one other guy an assist, just because we pressed so well. I mean, it's about, for us, it's about creating a window and shutting it, right? Mm-hmm. Or creating a window and breaking it. Mm-hmm. So there's those are like the two ways I try to get the players kind of visualize things whenever we're pressing, whenever we're attacking. So they've been just killing it the last couple of games. Absolutely killing it the last couple of games. So and it's funny, you know, you asked me earlier, when does a strategy start to change, right?
Yeah, right.
And actually, it's in that second game for the men's versus Columbus, they changed up their style completely to something that we haven't played against yet. Now, it was more than manageable because we had enough of an understanding of what they were doing to still remain dangerous.
And you're badasses, so there's that.
We just made a quick, you know, we just made a quick adjustment at halftime, and we said, this is what we're going to focus on. And even when it didn't go right, we still like, even at the last second, we're like, oh wait, crap, I can't be here, I got to be over there. And then boom, that lane's opened up. We play the ball in, we got runners coming off, we got chances in the box.
Yeah.
Ultimately, we ran them down as much energy as they had and as much as, you know, they wanted to be in our faces and chase us. We were able to outlast them because we just simply played smarter.
I want to ask you about that second men's game. Let's stay on that because you gave Sliwa the evening off. Matthew Klink was in goal, and they tried to throw everything but the kitchen sink to try to rattle Matthew. I thought he acquitted himself just fine.
Yeah. So, you know, to Columbus's credit, you know, they know, okay. And this is a good way of thinking about it, right? To beat, sometimes a break into the basement, you got to come out from underneath, or break into a house, you got to come from underneath. Think about water, right?
Yeah.
Water's coming up from under your basement. It's going to attack the foundation. That's what they try to do against us. They play the ball a lot over the top. They try to get the ball in deep early. They wanted the ball to be in our half of the field so that they could control the tempo and dictate everything. And like you said, they threw anything they could at Matt, and Matt handled it practically flawlessly.
Yeah.
I don't know of, you know, other than maybe one or two balls that he misplayed, like into the goalkeeper, into the corner or over the top or whatever. The guy played practically flawless. They did score some good goals. I mean, they had to score some really high. You're supposed to score on top of the boxes. And they did.
Yeah.
That's what Columbus did. Yeah. You're supposed to score when you're pressing six attacker up basically with more numbers forward because you're out manning people. They scored a ball where honestly, I felt I took a bad angle, gave up a diagonal across the far side of the field, and the kid had an unbelievable volley up into the top of the net to tie the game up. You know, it's things like that where you go, okay, if those are the goals that we're going to give up, let's limit them as best we can. Mm. And what happened? We gave up four.
Yep.
And that was it.
Yep.
And who won the game?
You know, big picture for the whole weekend, can you talk about, as the leader of the club and as a decade-long veteran of indoor soccer, for many of the women and for many of the men, it was their first trip on the road as a professional, back-to-back nights. Can you talk about how they handled it in transitioning from that first night into the second game, where it's very easy to mentally or physically take a night off? Can you speak to that first weekend on the road?
Yeah. So there was two different challenges, one for the women, one for the men, obviously, because the women took that very, very tough loss. And it was a very tough loss. You walk into the locker room afterwards. There was a lot of tears. There were a lot of people that were really upset because they didn't feel like they should have lost that game. They didn't feel like they deserved to lose that game. They didn't feel like that's how that was supposed to go, you know? And we talked for probably about 10 minutes. And the most important thing I think I tried to convey is you got until midnight. You got until midnight, right?
Yeah.
Let this eat, let this burn, let this marinate for a little bit. But at midnight, you don't bring yesterday's energy into today. Mm. You don't bring that yesterday's bullshit into today.
Yeah.
You got to take what happened yesterday and it's got to fuel you for today, and it's got to piss you off, and it's got to make you angry. You got to be out here ready to show people and show the other team, show the other fans. Not today.
Yeah.
That's not, that's not who we are. That's not who we're going to be. On the flip side, for the men's side, you know, it's a 10-0 win. It's flawless, right? Oh, so it's, yeah, it's very hard to, for me as a coach, and it's funny, I'll tell you what I told Bo at halftime, Coach Bo at halftime. You know, it's very hard to mentally just kind of keep them engaged, right? The best thing I could do is go watch your film, go see what you can improve on, find something you did wrong in this game, and let's think about what we could do to, what was that part of our game plan? Was that part of your role in that position? Was that part of your role in that part of the field, right? Right. Where was the ball? Where were you? Those types of things. How can you, you know, better organize things? We also talk about putting things in boxes, right? And okay, defensive, that's my box. All right, transition, that's the, here's a box. Final third, that's this box. This attacking mode, that's this box. So pull all those boxes, go through the files in each one of those boxes, and then just try to get yourself to bed at a decent time. So the following day, right, we go in, and the women are, they look like freaking Terminators, man. I swear to God, like the eyes on every one of them were glowing. I'm not even kidding you. You know, and they felt more confident. We got Stacey Owers that got to make her first appearance. She was, for me, I think really the difference in the game for us in that game, because she controlled the pace of play. She got the ball in deep constantly. She was everywhere on offense. So was Lauren Odino, one of our captains. You know, amongst all the other talent, you know, Kelsey and Ashley, they're just everywhere. They're just their normal selves, right?
Right.
But we had those extra players to kind of come in, and that renewed mentality, like, we're not losing today. I don't care what you do. I don't care how many times you block me.
Right.
We will not lose this game. I don't care.
Right.
Whereas the men came out and it's a bit more lackadaisical. Mm-hmm. And to Columbus's credit, like we talked about before, they hit us with something we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
So I'm walking in the locker room with at halftime, it's 1-1. And we've taken it fairly easy at that point. Like, we really didn't push the tempo. We really didn't play with a whole lot of intensity because the game's still close. Okay, cool. You guys can get super hyped up with all those goals. It's 1-1 in the first quarter. It's 2-1 at half, or it's 1-1 at halftime. I was like, you're expending a lot of your own energy on a back-to-back while you're trying to play man-to-man on a second day. Mm-hmm. Like, calm things down. It's going to be okay. We're going to be okay. So we get into the locker room. As I'm walking to the locker room, I look at Bo. I was like, I'm so happy this is happening right now, where I don't think we're going to get punished for it. We're going to be able to come through and we're going to be able to win this game. Where they're getting punched in the mouth. They got a little bit too cocky. They started to lose their heads mentally and get into the chippiness that Columbus was trying to get into. I almost did it. Columbus got into, right. Let's call him Colorado again.
Colorado.
That Columbus started to get into and really try to get us, you know, flustered and out of our element. And I hit him at halftime with it. I was like, you think you're going to be champions? You think you're going to go undefeated? You're going to let these guys that you just beat 10-0 get inside your brain. You're going to let them get inside your emotions. You're going to let them control the tempo and the pace and how you feel. That's not what you do. That's not what winners do. That's not what champions do. So in the second half, things started off a little bit slowly again. The ball went out of bounds. I look at Bo. I was like, I'm going to go get a lead real quick. So
hold my beer.
I came off. Columbus talks a lot of crap, and you don't talk a lot of crap to people that can do something about it.
Yeah.
And I felt very strongly that I could at that time. So I'm on the bench and I'm watching my team that was on the field. The five that were on the field kept the ball for about, I think I stopped it at 2 minutes and 23 seconds.
Oh, I straight. Know. Yeah.
Just
I know
moving
what you're talking
the ball.
About. Yeah.
Just, oh my God. Yeah. They just kept it the whole time. And then at the very end of the play, we found our target, Sam, right at the top of the box,
yep.
Who was able to turn his defender, and he got brought down for the penalty, for basically a penalty kick with a wall.
Right.
It was a blue card foul. That clip, I'm going to play over and over and over and over and over and over and over, because it showed how good our possession can be. What can happen when you try to go man to man against a possession based team like that,
mm-hmm.
like what we just showed we could do, how dangerous that can turn us into and how quickly the game can change. Right. When we set up that free kick, I had maybe a 2% chance of passing that ball. I knew the entire time I was walking up and shooting that, because I knew with the 4-man wall, I had one of the two corners that was going to be open.
Yeah.
And if it was this corner, I was going to lay it off to Jordy and he was going to get his like 19th goal or whatever. if the other guy started to cheat a little bit, we had another guy down low. I was able to kind of look the defender off that near post and then put it right between him and the wall. And that's all I did. I was just waiting, done. And I learned that from a guy I played against for years, John Sosa. So I watched that guy do it for decades now. So, I knew that was going to be one. We just turned around, we jogged back, right? We didn't celebrate any of the goals because we knew that, all right, it's 2-2 now. Now we got to go get another one. So I think I was on the field again for about, I guess, another minute or so. And then the next time I got the ball, I saw two guys kind of step at me and then not really sure who was going to take me. And the second I saw them both step and go, oh, wait, which one do I get? I just took off.
There's my bitch.
Yeah. I just saw my opportunity. I just saw my opportunity and I took it, and you know, I got a little bit fortunate because the shot I didn't think was very well placed, but still found the back of the net. But it was like you kind of will yourself to those chances, and when we're playing at this level, we can afford that. But when we get to video, I have so much now that I can just look at them and go, totally. I tried to tell you at halftime. I tried to tell you this. I tried to tell you that. Did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do this? No? Okay. We got a long way to go because this is what this team's going to do to us. This is what that team's going to do to us. You know, Fayetteville is playing a lot of man-to-man too. I was like, how are you going to adjust to that? What if they go back to a house? How are we going to adapt to that? What are we going to do if they start to press the front three and then keep it back to a zoning? How are you going to adapt to that? How do you break it? So we're going through that this week. We're trying to learn the game in a way that we can manipulate things shift by shift, not just in this game or in this half.
Right.
And you know, with our league, we don't have like media timeouts and stuff like that. You only get one timeout per half. It's very difficult to really make in-game switches when it's a live quarter.
Yeah.
Because everybody's got to be on the same page all at once. You can't just tell the five that are on the bench because two, you know, there's another five that are on the field. You got to hope that all five get off and then that you can tell all five of them before you get back on the field, that we're doing A, B, C, or D. So I basically need four other me's on the field looking and assessing and recognizing this is what they're doing. Here's what we're supposed to look for in this situation. Here's what they're doing. This is what we got to do to adjust to it. And once we get to that, I'm hoping, you know, like I said, I'm hoping to get there by middle of next season.
Well, you know, I mean, listen,
if not sooner,
it's interesting.
This is a lot of learning.
Yeah. You talk about like the, you know, the level of, you know, film that you're watching and stuff like that. We haven't played Fayetteville, so we're not really sure really what to expect. And, you know, they're doing the same thing. They're watching film on us. And, and so, you know, I found it interesting. I was like, you know, when does your strategy or philosophy change on the pitch? And when do you sit there and tell the team, okay, by the way, what we've been doing the first 3 weeks or 2 weeks, we're going to burn that to the ground and we're just going to go straight at this other.
So we don't typically ever, you know, quote, burn things around. So it's just a manipulation. That's the best way I could put it, is it's a manipulation. So we have a specific offensive strategy. The way you manipulate that offensive strategy is simply where you set it up on the field. So your landmarks, right? Is it bottom of the circle on the attacking side, or is it bottom of the circle on your defensive side that you're trying to draw them out to, right? Yeah. Are we looking to find this player or this player in a 1v1? How do we get these players in 1v1s? Where's the space on the field? Where isn't the space on the field? And how do you get in behind it? So those are the really tough pieces. The offensive strat or the defensive strategy is a little bit less flexible because it's all predicated on one thing that you adapt with really one or two key pokes and prods. So, we're getting to a point, especially in those Columbus games where we were able to trap them and we were setting up traps. We were reading those traps and we were doing really, really well at those traps.
Yeah.
We'll be able to do that even when they get into our offensive half, is we're going to give up this because this is what they look for. And they look for this player. but this player is only comfortable here.
Right.
We're going to give this player that ball. We're still going to make him look for that ball, but he's going to receive it over here instead.
Yeah.
You know, those types of little nuances that we're going to learn more and more that when we play against these players.
Right.
That's what you have to do. You know, there's some guys you just can't stop. There's some guys, but how can you minimize the damage, right? Yeah. We're always talking about minimizing the damage. We talk about how nerve-wracking it was for you guys for the home opener.
Yeah.
I was beyond anxious, beyond anxious, because you don't know how your team, we have a good idea.
Yeah.
But you don't, I never say, we always say, you don't know until you know.
Right.
And so we get on the field and we don't know, how are we going to perform?
Mm-hmm.
How's the other team going to perform? Are they really good? Like, I mean, they've got some pretty decent pieces. We've looked them up. We've seen some video on them from outdoor. How's that going to translate then? You just don't know these things. So what do? We try to minimize the damage the best way we can. You got Tim, you guys were talking about it in the games, the first games of the season, we were giving up lots of shots, but were they really all that high percentage? How many times do you just see exactly. Peter just go boom right here, right? How many times you see Angel just go boom right here?
Yeah.
You know, so you minimize those chances. You try to feel people out. And then offensively, you just go, okay, I know we're good at this. I know we're good at this. So this is what we're going to look for. This is how we're going to minimize our transition. This is how we're going to minimize the damage when things break down offensively. But once they have the ball, this is what we're looking for. We're going to try and minimize. And then you can start to build from there. Now we're starting to build. Okay. If teams do this against us to minimize us, here's how you break it. And that's the fun for me, at least that's like the really fun part because it's chess.
Yeah.
It's chess with a whole bunch of chess pieces that can go anywhere. Like yeah. We got a whole bunch of kings, a whole bunch of queens and a lot of rooks, you know, just being able to go anywhere. And castles that really want to be able to go all sorts of different places.
And the horsey
things too.
They're fun.
I like to play the horsies because I can go up two and over one all the time. That's what I did on my goal. I went up two and over one and then I shot a back post. So, that's literally how I scored.
Corey's the horsey guy. Got it.
I'm the horsey guy. But yeah,
how are the teams and how are the league? Where are your teams? Where's the league compared to where you hope that they would be at this point, just a month in?
I mean, I think that it's exactly where we thought they'd be, to be real honest with you. You know, I think we jumped up to a quick head start, but you look at that Fayetteville game, right? They put a thumping on Columbus. But then they go up against Rome and it goes to shootouts, you know, the same thing on the women's side. You know, we kill Columbus the first game on the women's side. Miguel down there, he's a very smart coach. He's an excellent guy. I really like him a lot. They made 100 different adjustments from game one to game two and it showed, right? Mm-hmm. Much more competitive games, much closer. The Rome women's team is already, they're studs. And I know those coaches are very, very good and they're getting them to be more tactical. I expect the Rome men's team to be the same way, Fayetteville the same way. Mm-hmm. So I think everybody's exactly where they need to be. There have been a couple of blowouts, which we expected,
mm-hmm.
but for the most part, even the teams that got blown out come back with very competitive matches. You know, I think that was huge, huge for Columbus. I know it was a tough loss for them, but I thought it was huge for them to be able to see We could compete here.
Yeah.
We could compete here.
Just not against Memphis. I mean, it's just not against you guys. I mean, it's fine.
They played us very well, man. They made the adjustments. They played us very well. They showed us something that we hadn't seen yet. Our guys didn't really adjust to it very well.
Right.
We got through with it. We knew, throughout the entire game, we knew we were going to win that game. And I think that's also a mentality, right? That you have to develop is that, doesn't matter what happens. We're going to win this game.
Right.
We're going to win this game.
We got a couple of minutes left. I want to ask you, what have you learned about, I know with back-to-back matches each time, that means you are a coach. You're also a player coach in all of this, which means you're going back and forth. You have busy evenings. What have you learned about yourself?
That's a whole other show. I'll tell you, it's the hardest thing for me is to also get back to ground zero. You know, especially like perfect example, the Rome match, we coach the women's game. It gets very heated at the end of the game. It's super intense. We win with 16 seconds left. Now I got to go be a coach and a player against the men's team.
Yeah.
And then the vice versa happens, right? Where, I have this great win with the men's team. We're feeling good. We're feeling confident. Then all of a sudden, you know, it's just back and forth with the women's team. Mentally, it is very tough. It's a lot to try and kind of put all together. Honestly, I felt like the road was so much easier to deal with than at home, because at home, you know, I'm also the general manager. So I'm feel like I'm being pulled in a thousand different directions, but, I think there's a specific level of ADD that is built for that, where your brain's just constantly like this all the time. Yeah. But as long as you can have some order to it and all right, I need 10 seconds here. I need 30 seconds here. I need 45 seconds here. I have 10 seconds back over here. Like, you can kind of get through with it. It's been very, very difficult. I think, I'm very fortunate that, I've got the supporting crew that I do, between, you know, the front office guys, and obviously, you know, the assistant coach and Bo Melson and just the team itself. But also, you know, I'm still very fit, which helps. I feel very good physically, and that helps obviously everything mentally. If I was battling with some stuff, that would be a little bit different. But yeah, man, it's been a fun ride so far, to say the least.
Seven and one doesn't suck. No. Let's just say
seven and one is not too bad. I'll take 7-1 so far. And like I said, really, I'm going to say 7 and a no decision, because I wasn't there for the L part of it. But
That's on Bo.
No, it was not on Bo. Not at all. That was on the green team for being who they were. But, you know, like
we love Bo, by the way.
Unfortunately, you know, that's something that I have to change, right? I think that's the hardest part, is the separation, right?
Yeah.
The separation between general manager, head coach, player, and teammate. So those are all things that all happened to me all within minutes of each other for a 4-hour long stretch.
Yeah.
Between the two games, you know, 4.5-hour long stretch between the two games, including warmups and everything like that. So, you know, between that and actually having to like stop sweating so I can take my stuff off.
I think we need to do for you is literally get you a phone booth. That way you can just jump into there, Superman yourself into, because I think Tim, you said it best when you're like, oh, he's wearing a suit for the first match. And then you come back out in a full kit and you're like, do you wear that underneath the suit? Like, I think that's the question most fans have at this point.
I've been looking for somebody that can make me one of those breakaway suits, like a Velcro breakaway.
Like Jackie Moon.
Come on the field, guys. I'm tired of this. I've been looking for that for a long time. And unfortunately, I haven't found anybody that can make me one yet. It's funny. You know what I did? The home opener. Come off the field. The men just, you know, killed it. We're going crazy. The women are getting on the field. We're getting warmed up.
Yeah.
I ripped like all my clothes off. I opened up the cooler inside the locker room that has all the drinks and stuff. And I just like threw myself in there and I just sat there butt ass naked. I'm just trying to like cool off and stop sweating. My face is red, my chest is red, I'm just dying over there. Just trying to cool myself down so I could put a suit on, not sweat through the suit.
Yeah.
And then get back out there for the girls game. I think that might be one of the tougher things that I've got to, like, I have to try and like deal with, really, is like, how do I I got to cool myself down and then go, you know. I like it when the girls play first, to be honest, because then I can, I'm good. I'm just in my suit. I'm casual. I can eat a little snack at halftime. And then when the men come out there, I'm already the adrenaline's already kind of pumping a little bit. So my body's already feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
So I don't need much of a warm up. I could just jump right out there and just start and pretty much just start going. So I kind of like that a little bit better, but yeah, that's probably the toughest part, man. I gotta get fancy real quick after getting all sweaty.
I'm just telling you, man, phone booth, and maybe even in the box there with you, you could just put a phone booth right there. Boom, Superman it out and hit the field. But man, I'm going to be honest with you.
I wonder if we could get somebody just to like bring one in and like spot. Well, somebody just sponsor the phone booth, just sit on the bench. I'll just jump in and then come right back out. Oh man.
The Papa John's phone booth, you know, it's right there.
Yeah, Papa John's phone booth. There we go.
We gotta get Shaq on the phone. Yeah.
Anyway. Bunch of Shaqaronis for after the game and a phone booth for coach to change into. Yeah. I need those, man.
It is fun to watch both squads play, both squads bringing such intensity. I think you mentioned about seeing the evolution in the club. Real quick, before we wrap, Tim, I've got one more question for you, and that is Angel. Her evolution seems to be like on this skyrocket trajectory. Even Tim and I we call each other after the matches and stuff. Her ball placement and stuff like that has been elevating. Is that due to practice schedules being somewhat of the same, where you've got, you know, this conglomerate of mindset with the goaltenders all talking and communicating at the same time? Or what is contributing to everybody's skyrocket evolution in this?
Well, I think it's communal, right? So we train together, mostly because a lot of the same issues that the women have, the men have, and a lot of the issues the men have, the women have, and we have very similar philosophies between the two groups. There's only a few things that we really kind of pinpoint and change just because of the personnel. But, I think for Angel, you know, any goalkeeper period will tell you, you got to have a great supporting cast, and she has a tremendous supporting cast behind her. Mm-hmm. You know, people come out to see her constantly. It seems like every goalkeeper in the area seems to know her. Same thing with Matthew Klink, but then you have a guy like Peter Sliwa that comes in and you can just watch, right? I'm always a big proponent of trying to watch and learn. Yeah, what could you do better here? Always be self-reflective and see how can you make yourself better. Like for Angel, you know, if she's taking shots from Georgia, who's going to throw something at her that she hadn't already seen? You know what I'm saying? Right. So, and then from a distribution perspective, she's just getting more accurate, which is excellent. She's already very good with her feet. Mm-hmm. We train with the goalkeepers on the, with their feet a lot, especially in our morning possession games and stuff like that. Like this morning, she was dancing all around with the ball. It was pretty insane. Her touch is really phenomenal. We haven't used her the way we've used like maybe Peter.
Yeah.
But her touch is absolutely phenomenal. Her long balls are excellent with her feet. We said that a lot in the second game of this past weekend was, hey, if my two defenders can't find a window to find the target, lay it back to Angel. If they press you too high, Angel, take a touch. And she did, and she was finding people left and right. It was really impressive. Nice. The saves that she makes, she's so clutch. Mm-hmm. She's just so clutch. Right at the end of the game, actually, I can't remember the first and second game. She made like two back-to-back saves down low. Like one hit the boards funny. It went up over her head. She turned around and swatted it out of the goal. It's like, yeah. How are you making these, man? It's unbelievable.
She's the one person that I do believe that has eyes in the back of her head. You know, like my mom always said that to me, but I actually believe that from her. You know,
right.
She's
just aware of everything that's around her, it seems like. And it's really, really, really impressive.
Yeah.
I think us personally, us and Columbus should be thanking our stars that we have goalkeepers the way we have goalkeepers. Same thing with the Rome men's goalkeeper is a stud.
Yeah. He's
that
a stud.
Guy is unbelievable. I like Fayetteville's goalkeeper a lot too.
Well,
a lot too. He's very, very good. He's very, very calm. He's got a great presence.
We'll actually see a little bit of Fayetteville finally, the Tomb of Doom, I guess we need to say, down south in South Haven.
Yeah.
Lander Center, they'll be there this coming
February. Match
in February. So
what is the nickname for the building? If it's the Americans, I mean, what is it? Is it Constitution Hall? What do you call it? I mean, Tumadu would be Egyptian.
I don't know, man.
I just call it the office.
This is the office.
Yeah. Oh, that's what we could call it. We could call it the Oval Office.
That's the Oval Office right here. There we go. Uncle Sam's Oval Office, the Lander Center.
Yeah.
16th and the 22nd are the next two home games. You can go to memphisamericans.com. And also, as we put this podcast out the week of the recording, we'll also provide a special link where you can get a special discount on tickets, no minimum. We want to get folks down to the Lander Center and check this out as the Americans, the men's and women's combined 7-1 start. They look fantastic as it has been obviously a massive team effort on the field and off the pitch. Corey Adamson, you've been very generous spending time with us today, and looking forward to seeing you this Sunday at 3:30 on the 16th, and then on the 22nd, same kickoff time, I believe, 3:30.
Yep.
So it should be fantastic. Look forward to seeing you out there. Thank you so much.
We got a game day clinic on the 22nd as well.
Bring me your youngins.
Bring me your youngins. You can sign up on memphisamericans.com. Go to our Facebook page. It's all over there too. We had a great turnout for the first one, our home opener. I think we had 16 kids for the first one, and it was awesome, man. They had so much fun. They've all been back to the next game since. It's coached by me and the rest of the players. So you get a chance to kind of be out there with the men's and the women's players. We always have one or two of each from each team. So you get to meet them. You get to be down on the field, use our soccer balls. You know, you get to be like a regular American. So it's cool. A lot of fun.
Yeah,
they I love doing it. That's probably my favorite thing to do, to be honest.
You got that, and then the post game autograph session.
Score goals. Or assisting, I guess, this weekend.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. All right, ISO shoulders down, because I know you put the team on your back the second half of that game with those two quick goals against Columbus this weekend. Corey Adamson, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. We'll see you out at Lander Center very soon, and continued best of luck. See you very, very soon, my friend.
Appreciate it, guys.
And that takes us to the half. More next on My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
The heart of Memphis has always been full of song. Every walk of life represented in the way Memphians know best. From the established to the current to the rising stars, hear their story and their music on the Memphis Reverb podcast on your favorite podcast provider. Just search Memphis Reverb.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. And we have added time to the podcast.
Brody, is that your first extended conversation with Corey?
Minus when we met on the field. Post-match, I will say this. If you come out to a Memphis Americans match, there's a lot of, like, fan service, if you will, in the sense that you get to meet all the players. I took the kids to the second match of the season at the Lander Center there, and it is an experience. And post-match, we're talking to everybody. Everybody's really personable. That was an extended conversation. But, yeah, you're right, Tim. This was the most in-depth conversation I've had with player, coach, captain, see all of the above, Corey Adamson. Really cool.
I feel like I should get some sort of a coaching badge, as much as he taught us in that interview about the match itself and the nuances and the line of thinking. I do have one suggestion. Perhaps have a bulletin board that Bo Melson can run. So if you change offensive tactics, just put it on the dry erase board. Okay, well, this is how we're going to score on them this time. We're going to go to this formation instead. Maybe you don't want to put it in writing though, so the other team can see it though. So maybe that's not the best idea, but hey, at least we're trying to help.
We're trying to help. But let me tell you something. I would hate playing against that club, either men or women, because they, you know, as Corey said, they don't burn it all down. They don't start from scratch, but there's a lot of inner workings behind the scenes stuff that is going to keep people on their toes. And if I was playing against them, I would keep that in mind.
And these clubs play each other a total of 8 times each. And we're starting to see the fruits of that decision, because we're starting to see that rivalry between Memphis and Columbus. We start even after the first match we saw with Memphis and Rome.
I was about to say Rome. Whoa. I think that's going to be not bad blood yet. But
well, I don't know. I thought they were going to go collar and elbow at midfield after the women's game. Corey and the other coach. I don't know.
I know it's there's trouble a brewing.
And then, of course, to be determined, Fayetteville, who seems to have gotten off on the right foot in the NISL. And when the Americans and the Fury meet, you know, that could tell a massive tale of how the fate of this league is going to go for men's and women's, because yeah. It looks like they've got two strong sides there as well. But you can go to MemphisAmericans.com. And I do want to say one more time, Brody, the kids clinic that's going to be coming up later this month. You can go to the website, sign up at $75 for the kid. They have a discount if you do three, but you get actual coaching from Corey, from the players, plus two seats right there by the glass, but yeah, they don't have glass on the sides, which provides an even more up close experience. And you can go to MemphisAmericans.com for that. If you're looking for individual game tickets, the week of the 16th, which is the Sunday match, we have a special discount code for my three subs that I'll be putting out for you. Sweet. You can get the group ticket price, but no minimum ticket purchase. So you can save that's at least awesome. $5 or more off of tickets. Thanks to the Memphis Americans, Andrew Haynes, Corey Adams, and Chris Lorenzo, and the entire gang for facilitating that for us. So that puts the wraps on indoor. But as I look at the calendar, we're less than 2 months away from outdoor.
Big news from outdoor. We're going to do a whole dedicated show on the happenings from Memphis 901 FC, the outdoor club, because we're starting to get some re-signees. Yes, there's returnees to the club. And I know Coach Ben Pierman is excited about a lot of these guys coming back.
Yes, and it's always important to remember that the hyphen makes a big difference in the word re-sign.
Yeah, re-sign. Yeah, yeah.
Not resigned.
Resigned. Resigned. Yeah, resigned. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, and coming up next episode, we'll have plenty more of those because I know more announcements are coming. Mm-hmm. We'll wait till a few more come, and then we'll release those. But again, Memphis Americans at home at 3:30 p.m. on Sunday, the 16th of January, and also on Saturday, the 22nd of January. Again, one more time, MemphisAmericans.com. And you can also catch that with Jeff Brightwell and me on the YouTube channel. And I have to tell you, it has been so much more fun than I could have possibly imagined.
I was about to ask.
It's a blast, man.
Yeah, yeah. Because it sounds like you and Jeff are having a really great time. And of course, Jeff Brightwell is a fantastic human being, just flat out. But you guys together, I know, it, you know, we're friends outside. So the friendship is bleeding through, my friend. Your friendship is showing.
Thank you. Well, hey, yeah, we're having fun with that. And it's been such a blessing because I work with you in soccer. I work with Jeff Brightwell. Yeah. I work with Pete Pranica, Dave Walotian, Tyler Spring.
Hey, Rob shout out to Woj. Walotian coming Edmison. Back and resounding the old school bell, man. That was awesome.
He was on the call with Jeff and me for the match winning goal in the women's game.
Yeah.
With, when Kristen Sparks knotted that in with like 15, 16 seconds left. And, that was pretty amazing.
So cool.
Pretty amazing.
So cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So and one thing that the Memphis Americans have given us license to do is we're going to try to bring in some more of those old school names to come in and sit in the booth for a little bit of time. So Tony Carbignani, there's your invite. Matt O'Sullivan, there's your invite. Kyle Rote Jr., there's your invite. And so many more folks. The Americans, it is definitely an up-tempo style of soccer. It's a different generation. But I love the fact that they are acknowledging the past, acknowledging the legacy, and it is a fun time. And as much as I love doing the games, I would be even more encouraged to see folks come to the games and experience it themselves, bring their kids, and make new memories. I think that would be fantastic. And that's all I got to say for today, Brody.
It's fun. It's fun. As my oldest calls it, it is soccer hockey. Can't wait to start seeing some checking. Maybe some of that, more of that going on, because there's already some of that going on. the refs let them play. It is kind of brutal at times. So as much as Coach Corey would like to say, the green team is out there to get us. They're letting us play too. So I mean, it's a little back and forth.
I think the officiating crew is doing a fine job. They're doing the best to be in the best possible position at all times, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
Well, that wraps it up for today, Tim. Like I said, we've got 901 FC news coming up very shortly. And until then, I blow the whistle, Tim. You're the guy with the clout here.
Oh, I don't know about that. This is definitely all about the fans. But Brody, it's great to be back with you, my brother. Happy New Year. Happy, healthy, prosperous New Year. Yes. And we're so spoiled now because we've always had that outdoor soccer, but now we've got indoor too. Year-round fun right here on My Three Subs.
There's the whistle. Thank you for listening. Check out more My Three Subs podcast, A Soccer Odyssey.
This is a Brody Scott production.
That's you, Daddy.